Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. Kim on a whim.
I was trying to find a new show the other day, and I came across one called Quiet on Set. And then I didn't actually watch it, but Ethan reminded me of that, which I appreciated because I think it's a crazy topic. It goes into what was happening behind the scenes specifically as it relates to Nickelodeon. I was a 90s kid. I know that you were not watching Nickelodeon, Mark.
Maybe with your kids.
Okay, but obviously as a kid that would have been.
They used to watch that show where you got slimed or
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that on television.
Wait, what do you mean?
That's the name of the show.
Oh.
You can't do that
on
television.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought like they banned that or something. Like they were saying it was inappropriate
that
or whatever.
That was the name of the show.
Gotcha. I remember watching all of those Nickelodeon shows. Well, this docuseries, I believe it's a four-part docuseries.
Oh, they added a fifth part after.
Oh, because of what? It was so popular?
Because after the first four parts came out, more people came out and they had more people talk.
Interesting. Okay. It basically accuses one of the show's producers, Dan Schneider, is basically having, I guess, harassment allegations, abusive behavior, creating this like toxic work environment. And I just think about all these children who only know stardom. Like they're put in that situation at maybe like 5 years old. Like think about the Olsen twins in Full House. I don't know how old they were when they started in that show, but like babies,
they
I'm pretty
babies,
sure.
Yeah.
Babies.
Yeah.
You think about like, I know Britney Spears wasn't on Nickelodeon, but she was Mickey Mouse Club. I mean, if you watch Britney Spears now, she dances with knives in very small clothing.
I saw another
on Instagram.
I saw another clip of her yesterday. I assume it was something new, but she basically looked like she was doing a stripper dance in front of the camera.
That's all
Is
she does.
Psycho?
That's I'm telling you. Like all these kids who grow up in this environment, they don't know any different. They don't have a normal life, and it just feels like it's really putting them in this position where people in powerful positions are sadly, it sounds like in this case, maybe taking advantage of them, having sexualizing them. Like, listen, part of this trailer for this docuseries, Quiet on Set.
It was a toxic environment. It made me trust people less.
We were there for so many hours. You get comfortable with people until you're not. I had no idea what I was saving my son from.
I can't even imagine all that went on that we have no clue about in Hollywood. Hollywood, to me, just comes off so dirty. I think people portray it as this super glamorous place, and it is, and I've been to Hollywood, but there's just so many gross things about it that I think happen like this. It just taints it.
I've often wondered, because if you watched Dance Moms and all that stuff, you see a little bit of the drama and the that goes on with people who are actively, like, have a stake in whether or not their child succeeds in show business, I would think. And you sometimes you want to take those people by the shoulders and shake them and say, can't you see what you're doing to this kid? I mean, now some of them go on to be very successful in life. It's obviously not all of them. But what price are you paying?
I agree. I think that's part of the problem is when these parents are basically, dare I say, using their children for their own fame and to essentially make millions, right? Because we were talking the other week about how some of these influencers on social media are making millions. I mean, millions. There are videos, whole YouTube channels I've seen dedicated to children who look to be, I don't know, maybe like 6, 7, 8 years old, something like that, not even 10. And they're just playing with toys. And all these toy companies will send them toys in, I would imagine, millions and millions of dollars just so that other people, and I imagine some pedophiles, can watch these kids play with toys on social media.
But you would come to, like, back to Hollywood, though. At least with the social influencer thing, you have some control over that because the kid's playing with the toys in your house and you're recording it and then you're posting it up on social media. In Hollywood, what would it take to take your 10 or 11 or 12-year-old and drop them off and completely trust the people you're turning them over to without being there to supervise it on a daily basis?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's obviously happened because that's what these kids are complaining about, right?
Yeah.
That was the situation into which they were taken advantage of.
I wonder if any of the parents were allowed to stay on the set if it was a young child.
Maybe that was part of the problem. The guy knew that he had to get the parents away from them before any of that could happen.
And essentially that was what some of these people in the docuseries were saying, is that that's why it's an easy target, because you're isolating the kids away from their parents, and that's where the kids are. So that's where they go, because it's easy access. So, I don't know. It's just like the whole industry is just sad. And I've actually dealt with, just talking about show business, and I know you and I are not in show business per se, but just the industry. I mean, I've dealt with that, with people in power who were inappropriate. And when I came forward about it, nothing was really done. And there were several other people who were involved, and they got nervous and didn't want to say anything because then their reputation is on the line and they don't want to be viewed as the person who's ratting somebody out. And I'm like, well, this person's doing harmful things and needs to be outed. So I just think a lot of these people, and this was at the college level, and I think a lot of people are getting away with stuff because it's easily hidden and people are scared to come forward, which is what a lot of kids in this docuseries are saying, is like, you're scared to say anything. You don't want to lose your job. You don't want them to be mad at you. You don't want them to fire you.
How much has it changed, I wonder?
Well, do you think it's gotten better or worse?
Well,
it's changed.
No, I mean changed for the better once these stories started coming out. You know, the whole hashtag MeToo thing started with good intentions, I think, and it turned into cancel culture is
Agreed.
What we ended up getting out of it.
Yeah.
But when you have a documentary like this shedding light on these problems, is there anybody who goes into this with their eyes closed anymore? I mean, they have to know what they're getting into. And is it still going on? There will always be people able to exert pressure on you if they have something that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want, they're the gatekeeper to $1 million a year in revenue. People are going to be taken advantage of,
yeah.
Whether it's financially or in some cases physically, I would imagine, mm-hmm. because they're chasing that golden ring and that's all they care about.
Yep. No, I think you're right. I think that the Me Too movement got out of hand. It started with good intentions, and I do think it has done some good where people are more aware and they're maybe feeling like they can speak out in a situation where maybe they wouldn't have before. So I think that's better. But I think when you're in that situation, you're one of those people who it's like, this would never happen to me. I would never let this happen. And then you're actually in the situation and you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, where did I go wrong? How did this happen? And you feel silly.
Hmm.
I don't.
Did you watch any of this documentary?
I think I had it on for like 2 minutes.
Oh, so you watched a little bit of it.
And yeah. It's dark.
Is
it seems
the guy
like.
Still working?
No, he parted ways with Nickelodeon. Dan Schneider is his name. He was with them for years. 2018 was his last time working with a network, and that was amid all these allegations.
Has he been charged?
I don't believe he's been charged, but then he put out this like 20-minute YouTube video with one of the stars of some show that was popular, essentially denying any sort of allegation against him in this docuseries, because obviously his name is all over the place.
I'd be locked up. If that happened to one of my kids, I'd be in prison somewhere. I would lose all ability to control myself if that happened. I just have to tell you. Food for thought there. Wow.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.